Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. Come, sing and dance before the Lord. Praise God with the sound of music and dancing. Let every soul sing God's praises. Let the mountains tremble and the seas roar. Praise the King of glory who guides our lives. Praise the Lord of hosts who watches over us. Amen.
The presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before Him now with reverence and fear. In Him no sin is found. We stand on holy ground. Presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with splendor He is crowned. Our radiant King of light, be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister His grace. No work too hard for Him. In faith receive from Him. For the power of the Lord is moving in this place. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here.
Our affirmation of faith. We are God's work of art, each one of us a precious gem, a marvelous melody, a potter's delight. We are God's handiwork, woven together in love, shaped with infinite compassion, painted with incredible beauty. We are the Church of Jesus Christ, diverse in human qualities, but united in our call to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We are the body of Christ, living in His truth, sharing His peace, carrying His hope, embodying His love throughout the world He loved so much. We are here to be reminded once more who we are, whose we are, and what our lives are about. We are here to be uplifted, renewed, and empowered to live out the miracle of who we are by the power of God working in and among us. We open ourselves to God, who makes all things new. Amen.
Amen.
first scripture reading comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who are the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in.
I give my life to tell your story. Let every breath bring you glory, God. It's all for you. To know your love is all I'm after. So fill this heart, it's yours forever.
Our scripture text this morning comes from the book of 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 19. David again brought together out of Israel chosen men, 30,000 in all. He and all his men set out from Baalah in Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim that are on the ark. They set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the ark of God on it, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with songs and with harps, lyres, tambourines, sistrums, and cymbals. When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day that place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me?" He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him to the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God." So David went down and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those there who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from the window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever been so immersed in worshiping God that you completely forgot about yourself? That is, you lost all sense of self-consciousness. If you have, then you have indeed experienced true freedom. True freedom is to dance before God in such a way, with such enthusiasm, and at all times and in all places, that everyone you meet and everyone who sees you will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven because of them. Of course, we know that not everyone will accept the message that we preach. Not everyone will accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and thus be saved from sin, death, and hell. And those people may look upon us as we dance before God and despise us in their hearts. Perhaps they resent that anyone could be so happy in this life. Perhaps they're jealous. Perhaps they want nothing to do with God. Perhaps they have chosen the darkness over the light, this world and Satan over Jesus Christ in eternal life. Perhaps they're just too self-conscious themselves to allow themselves to dance before God. Remember the words of Jesus: "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you." In our Old Testament lesson for this morning, we see David dancing before God. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might. David was so fully immersed in worshiping God, in fact, that he didn't realize that his linen ephod, this small ceremonial apron in which he was dressed, was falling off of him, leaving him fully exposed to the whole company of Israel. We read in verse 16 that Michal watched from a window, and when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. Have you ever felt as if someone despised you because of your enthusiasm for the Lord? There aren't a lot of guarantees in this life, but this one is for sure. If we worship God the way that we should, if we do what He commands of us, if we witness to the world about the great salvation that can only be had by giving one's life wholly over to Christ, there will be some people who will despise us for this reason and for this reason alone. But let us never allow the judgment of the world to stop us from dancing before God. Let us never allow anyone to take away the joy of our salvation. May we never be persuaded not to witness, not to praise God in the sight of others, not to tell the world about Jesus, simply because some people will cut us down because of it. In Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, he writes, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all." Paul goes on to say, "Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If we're still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Whose approval are we trying to win? I've heard it said so often that in many places the gospel of Christ is no longer being preached. Instead, people are saying things that they think others want to hear. Well, to this, Paul says, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. These are some very heavy words. We're called to be the stewards of God's word, of God's truth. Who are we trying to please? Are we declaring God's truth, no matter what others might think or say about us? Just imagine what a difference we could make in this world if everyone who has been born of God would do what God has called us to do. What if we were all to dance before God with all our might, being so fully immersed in worshiping the Lord that we leave ourselves fully exposed to the whole world? We might get persecuted. We might get laughed at. But many, many others would see the truth and come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. This is the only cure for the world that we live in. Without Christ, this world is going to hell. Do we care enough to forget about ourselves and be real servants of Christ by trying only to please God? In the passage immediately following today's text, we could read that after this festive worship celebration, David returned home to his household, and Michal came out to meet him. It said how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. David would say to Michal, it was before the Lord, I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. A seminary professor once said, true worship, like prayer, is Godward. Our worship is toward the Lord of heaven and earth, toward the Holy One, toward the Transcendent One. Our worship is not to be addressed to each other, but toward God. David was so caught up in worshiping God that he didn't notice his revealing ephod. And Michal was so caught up in watching David and his revealing ephod that she forgot to worship. David worshiped with his whole heart, mind, soul, strength, and body. Michal seems not to have worshiped at all. Oh, what she has missed out on! Instead, she cuts David down. She despises him. But David refuses to worry about Michal's critique. We can almost hear the aching, pleading in David's voice as he challenges Michal to get over herself and join in worshiping the Lord, because true worship is not a spectator sport. According to Richard Foster's book, The Celebration of Discipline, to worship is to change. To stand before the Holy One of eternity is to change. If worship does not change us, we have not truly worshiped. The word liturgy does not mean the work of the pastor, nor does it mean the work of the worship leaders. The word liturgy literally means the work of the people. To worship is to change. To stand before the Holy One of all eternity is to change. If we leave worship and we have not been changed, we have not truly worshiped. The Word of God is alive and active. We are never to dare to approach the living Word of God by sitting back and relaxing. It is alive and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It was written for you and me today, every bit as much as it was written for those who lived thousands of years ago. Church is not a place where we come just to have our minds stimulated and where we're given something to think about. It's a place where we engage the living God, the Holy One of all eternity. And so we leave and we change our whole lives, and they're a dance before God. Let's get specific. Today, do we dare to enter the text about David and Michal and let it change us? Do we dare to expose ourselves to the living God and the rest of the world? King David, he knew how to worship. He worshiped with his whole being. He poured out the deep, passionate love that he had for God with his whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Is this how we worship God? True worship does not stop when we leave this building. True worship cannot be contained. True worship is a daily dance before God. Therefore, when we arise in the morning, we're to worship God.
At work, at school, or play, we're to worship God, because true worship is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. True worship is to let the power of the living God live in us. Some of you may remember the movie Jurassic Park. One of the best parts of that movie was when the funky bohemian scientist said, "Your theme park idea won't work. The life force is too great, too powerful, too explosive. It will find a way to burst out of the bindings you've constructed for it." That's what happens when we worship the living God. As Christians, the word life should always be written with a capital L. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. In the resurrection, we see that all the force, the power of life, is in Christ breaking through the bindings of the grave, bursting out of the cave, rolling that stone away, exploding all the boundaries we had constructed for Him, for Christ, for life with a capital L. And we break out of the boundaries that this world has constructed for us. With the living God in our hearts, we become truly a part of life. I heard a story about a young man. He received a Bible from his grandfather. He hatefully tossed it aside, resentful and disappointed, because he had expected to receive cash. Years passed. One day he casually flipped through the pages of the Bible while sorting through his belongings. To his amazement and horror, a check for a large sum of money, enough to buy a new car, fell out of the crisp pages of the never-opened book. His grandfather had died a long time back. The bank account on which the check was written was long closed. Tears stung the man's eyes as he realized how ugly and foolish his behavior had been. He had not been appreciative of a devoted grandfather. He had missed out on many opportunities, not only for the new car, but more important, for a warm and caring relationship with someone who loved him dearly. How many of us are like that ungrateful man in this story? God blesses us with all that we could ever want or need, but we stumble around either complacent or self-centered, searching for instant through fleeting gratification. What a wonderful inheritance we miss along the way. Jesus Christ has promised that if we would only die to this life, take up our cross and follow Him, we will have more than we could ever hope for. Life bubbling over into eternal life, and then the ever-present joy of the companionship of our loving Savior throughout this earthly life. If we truly worship God, then our lives, like David's, will be seen by others as we leap and dance before the Lord. Our lives will preach the gospel. Our lives will reflect our worship. Our lives will embody our love for God and for our neighbor. And the Lord will use our lives to reap a great harvest of souls. Are we dancing before the Lord with all our might? Friends, I'm told there is no greater freedom. Won't you join me today in the dance? Let's pray. Lead me in the dance of life, O God. Turn my heart towards you as I follow your lead into places of wonder and grace that only you know where I'm supposed to be. Attune my ear to the music that hums beneath the surface of my thoughts and activities. Give me the spirit that moves with the flow of love and grace to the rhythm of your heartbeat. May I find joy in the dance that is my life, the life that is orchestrated by you. With you as my partner and my guide, Father, we pray these things in and through the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I danced in the morning when the world was begun. I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord.
scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance and they wouldn't follow me. I danced for the fisherman, for James and John. They came with me and the dance went on. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. And I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me on high, and they left me there on a cross to die. Dance then, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he.
Now, children of God, celebrate the life you've been given. Live your life with all your might as a dance to God's glory. Live to the praise of God's glory. Go and dance in the magnificent name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Go with Him. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.